Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Amy McGuire with Let's Talk.
Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations people all across the country. I'd like to acknowledge my elders past and present and the elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to our listeners if you tuned in across the nation via the National Indigenous Radio Service. And if you're listening on the web, 989fm.com.au, or on our podcast a little bit later, welcome to you as well. It's great to have your company here, and I hope everyone had a really great weekend. We have two guests in the studio today, one of Australia's most celebrated poets and also a Brisbane-born and bred boy here, Sam Wagan-Watson and Annie Tefu, and they're here to talk about the Queensland Poetry Festival, but I'll get them to introduce themselves. Sam, can you tell me a little bit about your mob and your country?
Good morning. Good shout-out to mob on Mananjali and Birrigubba country. But I'm a Brizzy boy.
Yeah.
Born and bred and have made my bones in writing on the south side of Brisbane.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of Brisbane in your poetry, don't you? A lot of imagery about Brisbane around the place.
It's such good canvas
to draw from. Yeah. Definitely. And Annie, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having us on. I'm Brisbane born and bred, but all my family, all my roots are in Northland, Pungaroo, Tararua tribe. So sending all my love to mob out there. Hopefully, maybe someone's listening.
Yeah, well, we go on the web,
yeah,
so we'll have to put it up.
Hey, Auntie Polly.
Now, before we start, Sam actually wanted to say one of his poems, because it's actually about Let's Talk, and it's actually about the legend Uncle Tiger Bells. Would you like to start by saying that poem?
Let's Talk for Kumanjay Uncle Tiger. I start this poem with a quote from social justice DJ American Dennis Prager. Just because you cannot fight every evil does not mean you should fight no evils. Fires burn from voices long worn of warfare that is unjust, amorphously changing its callous rules of engagement. These nightmares that grow from the veins of our attackers and from within ourselves. Let's talk about the daily ruse and hollow conventions of peace that are easily and conventionally broken. A white child dies and a court cries blood. 100 black children die and the culpable call it an accident. Let's talk like broken records about the set of records broken on this land. Data on our skin alone fills more anthropological library space than any other culture in the world, and yet we are still misunderstood and being studied. Fires burn from voices long worn on the only certainty that dreaming wings are clay pigeons from nothing other than brutal hunger. Our enemy cannot hurt us if we have both our arms wrapped around them in a loving embrace. But it's hard to do that when they think that our black skin will rub off on theirs. The blackness is not our skin, brother, but the charcoal of fires our dreams are cremated from. No one will win this war on succession and replicated acts of gutless valour. After the first stone was thrown, bombs were dropped and hostages were taken. It's that simple. Let's talk about drafting a treaty. Let's talk. Let's talk about a genocidal monster to sleep, senseless into its own demise in peaceful dreams. Let's talk. Let's talk reconciliation until we're all too exhausted. And the only imperative to take a stand together is to hold each other up and find the comfort and embracement. Let's bloody talk. Let's talk evil into essential goodness. Speak over the red tape triggers that wait silent and deadly so they will aim only into the crosshair of our eternal ceasefire. Let's bloody talk. We cannot fight every evil, but as long as a dialogue and even a daily diatribe exists on the destructive principle of evils, let's just talk. Let's talk until evil bows to listen and the fires burning from voices that are long worn can settle into the beautiful warmth of embers. And even when we're done, let's never stop talking.
Wow, that was beautiful, wasn't it? And you wrote that a while ago, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of your collection.
Yeah, part of one of my collections, yeah. Yeah.
And what inspired you to write that, I guess?
Just hearing the big bloke get on every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. What inspires you about Sam's poetry in particular, Annie?
Oh, gee, where to start? Sam's poetry is something that connects to all people. I think that's what really is so crucial about Sam's writing. He taps into something and it opens you up. His writing opens people up, and it definitely is something that brings people together. His poetry is a unifier, and it's a real opener for conversations. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. You raised a lot of themes that Uncle Tiger talked about throughout his whole history of this program, which is about 6 or 7 years. But there's still topics that continue, aren't they, Sam?
There are. I was at the Bendigo Writers Festival on the weekend, and a big topic was refugees and their place in Australia. And I think a lot of our mob have to remember we're refugees ourselves. I can't go back to country. So we have more in common with these foreigners that some of our mob see as taking the country and taking jobs and support from government, which they probably get about as much support from government as we do. So in writing, there are so many ways you can reach out and connect. And it's just a cool thing to be able to write every day and create. You know, they're your babies. You've got to nurture them.
Yeah. So how did you get into poetry, Sam? And at the time, I'm guessing, who were the people that you looked up to and thought that you could actually embark on this as a career path?
Well, Dad, his novel took off, and I went to Sydney Writers Festival with him, and I thought, this is a great gig. You know, you just go to parties.
Yeah.
But I saw Annie Maureen as a student open a state government seminar about domestic violence, and all the aunties ran to the stage and they were screaming out, "Do yellow land rights shirt!" And the bureaucrats were trying to stop the poetry reading. Like, "Oh, we've got to get on with business." And they're like, "Shut up, Maureen, do another poem." And I saw the simplicity of that, whereas I want to be a filmmaker, I want to do all these things. You need so much money. And poetry is one of those things where you can basically take a pen and a piece of paper and go for it. And I think, although I haven't been to hip-hop for a few years, the poignant moments of films like Straight Outta Compton and 8 Mile is seeing the protagonists on the bus going to their daily place of work, pulling out a big wad of paper and writing. I'm like, man, I've done that. I've done that. Kids can do that, you know.
Where do you write? Do you have any specific places?
My journals.
Yeah.
Just at home. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not an iPad person or a...
Electric typewriter.
That's very poetic in itself, being
tried,
able to use those.
I've been buying typewriters, but they say yam, and they don't help me.
You just like the look of it.
They'll be right anymore. But I tell you what, it drives me nuts these days when kids come up to me and they show me their smartphone and show me their beautiful poetry. I'm like, dude, you'll lose that next week. Please write.
The problem is, I mean, if I write with my long hand, you can't understand it. I'm the only one who can read my writing, so maybe that's why we're going into this electronic phase.
I mean, the electronic phase is good. I mean, in this day and age, to get connected to publishing, and which is what we're probably going to try and cover this week with the Poetry Festival, is how anyone can just make it a little bit more easier to get their work out there. There are so many avenues now with the internet. I was one of these twits that said, the internet, it'll be like Atari. It'll be gone. It'll be
like
gone in a year. And now I can't survive without the internet, because, you know, I do a job, I've got to send the invoice, got to keep in touch with my boss at the Poetry Festival, my agent, people all around the world. So It's an essential item, but it's an essential item that has to be used sensibly.
Yeah, definitely.
And
because the thing about your poetry is that it has gone all around the world. It's even gone out of the world into outer space. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I've been writing haibun for a number of years, which is a Japanese form of prose poetry. And my agent contacted me and said, someone's taking the mickey. There's someone from NASA wanting to talk to you to put your poetry into space. I'm like, someone's taking the mickey. And now we figured out after a long series of phone calls, the Japanese Aeronautical Exploration Agency, like all things holistic that the Japanese do, they believe their astronauts on the space platform need poetry and art and song to give them that boost every day. Mm. So, I worked on that project, and it was a great project. So projects like that are starting to come my way.
Yeah, right.
And
pretty exciting.
It's good.
Annie, can I ask you, did you know a lot about the strength of Aboriginal poetry when you first started entering your career, I guess? Did you have a good knowledge of that?
No. I have to be very honest and say it's been a real learning curve. Poetry in general, actually. My background was very much in community arts, so more maybe music and various things like that, community festivals, producing for places like Woodford Folk Festival. So my head and knowledge and all of that kind of experience was really in that kind of more performative world. So coming to poetry has been, it's like the first time you see, the first time you step on a plane and you take off and go, oh, wow, this is the horizon and there are the it's just so expansive and there's so many beautiful voices out there, so many rich voices. And now I can just list off very proudly a whole bunch of really great Indigenous First Nations, amazing writers, and we're so lucky that they're all about to be here. They're all about to arrive, so they're all coming from the 25th of next. Is that next week?
It is.
Yeah, August.
D-Day.
Right
D-Day.
It is D-Day,
It is quite amazing because I was looking at the sort of the program for the Queensland Poetry Festival and there are heaps and heaps of First Nation writers, which is actually quite unusual, I guess, because when I look at see if I want to go to a writers' festival, see who's there, it's very white, I often find. That's just from my perception. But
that was my experience as well.
Yeah, the Queensland Poetry Festival has got heaps and heaps of not just Sam, but Alison Whittaker, Amanda Heyman, Uncle Bob Weatherall, Ellen Van Nierven, Grace Lucas Pennington, Melissa Lukashenko, Ricky Pascoe, and I'm just reading out a couple. That's just only a few of them, isn't
Lionel
it?
Fogarty. Yeah.
Lionel Fogarty. Has that changed over the course of your career, do you think, Sam, that we're getting more and more young and, I guess, older Aboriginal writers coming
look
through?
Look at someone like Ellen Van Nierven. She sort of transcends the stereotypical look of a poet. She started out as a award-winning prose writer and then turned around to the publisher and said, no, I want to write poetry. And they're like, what? What do you want? You're a prose writer. But she's delivered the most beautiful first collection of poetry. And it's amazing. There are quite a few award-winning prose writers around the country, black and white, who are saying, I want to do poetry now.
But you often find they started with poetry, but they made a published first prose.
The publishing machine quite often pushes you from poetry to prose because they can sell more quantities of poetry. But it's writers like Ellen that are really showing the way about where we all can go as writers. So, it's good to have that poets like Ellen who are just starting, poets like Uncle Lionel who are into, their 20th maybe volume of poetry, who have been around the world. And we're all working together. So Annie and David have pulled together a wonderful program, a really diverse program. And I just hate all these black colours now. Well, published.
Too much competition.
I'm trying to get my work out there, you mob.
So we're the really lucky ones in that Sam is actually the first. So this is our 20th year as Queensland Poetry Festival. Never before, every year we've had an Arts Queensland poet in residence.
Right.
So this year it's Jeet Thayil from Delhi.
Yeah, yeah.
India, he's awesome. But Sam is actually, we're the lucky ones in that Sam agreed to come on board as the first Indigenous poet in residence. So never before has this been part of the festival. Sam's going to be working from Judith Wright's desk, desk at the Judith Wright Centre. But he's also doing lots of really great things. So we're partnering with Quandamooka this year, and Sam's heading out on
Sunday the 21st.
We'll be at a
workshop on Quandamooka. I don't have a lot of details yet about what we'll be doing on Sunday, but yeah, I want to have fun.
Mm. Me too.
I'm thinking I'll get there and I'll just be mind blocked because it's that beautiful country.
Yeah.
If I was living on that country, I'd probably be into my 20th novel right now.
You would.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to unearth some voices from over there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you're hoping to get a lot of writers together over on Quandamooka country and start.
Yeah, just it might start off as a talk fest, but I'm hoping it'll be a creative session in the end. Yeah.
I find that when you talk about Aboriginal literature and writing and everything, a lot of Aboriginal people start out as poets. You know what I mean? Why do you think we pick poetry first?
I think it's easy to complement the confliction that most of us don't write in our own language. So poetry is the best way to get that out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's different, like places like the Territory and WA, Margabala books have a nice little list now of poetry in language and children's books in language. And but most of us urban folks will never get that language back. You know, speak with our mother and father's tongues. Uncle Lionel has this great quote about growing up and having English pushed into his brain and mixing with his mother and father's tongue and how he still finds trouble expressing himself through the limitness of English language compared to his own. So, look, we're a good, strong scene now, and we should keep pushing forward.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you find a lot of people maybe not... how do people start to write their own poem, I guess? How do a lot of blackfellas who might want to put pen to paper but might not know exactly, you know, understand how to write or what the medium should look like? Is it just experimental or
experiment every day? I had a girlfriend who had McDonald's and I used to buy cheeseburgers and write love letters to her on a cheeseburger and put it in a letterbox. She goes, "What are the sub stalkers after me?" But, you know...
She must have known it was you.
It's an experiment. Uncle Kevin Gilbert wrote on bits of toilet paper and smuggled it out to his family from Grafton Prison. A lot of the great Russian poets did the same thing. If you have a pen and a bit of paper, it's amazing what you can write, what you can create.
Yeah, right.
A whole world.
I've read that you wrote on an air sickness bag on a Qantas flight one time.
Ah, right. Yeah, I did. How does this get out? But yeah, I have. Yeah.
So we can write on anything.
You can.
Is that something that do you like writing, Annie? Is that
I do.
That you
I do. I like to write on whatever I can find. but I like writing anything other than Excel spreadsheets at the moment. I'm in real. Unfortunately, that real practical kind of part of the festival. But when I find writing, if I'm writing or reading from a book, not an iPhone or a computer, that's when I feel like I'm rich.
Yeah, right.
Mm. I just I've got it made.
Is it so similar over in your homeland where you've got a lot of Indigenous Maori starting to write poems as well, or has that been a strong tradition over there as well?
Definitely, yeah. And it's very much just when Sam was talking about just being experimental or riding with whatever you can, definitely back home, that's definitely the same kind of and just also talking about festivals and programming of Indigenous voices. We were recently over at the Auckland Festival, and it was funny to go to the one festival where Tussiada and actually Maxine Beniba Clark were in conversation. So that was the one kind of, it's just interesting programming Indigenous voices in festivals. And
yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're finally getting out there.
Yeah. And finally, I think this needs to just be a given that it's this is how we program.
Yeah, right. Because you were saying before, Sam, just from anecdotally,
yep.
You used to go and there'd be the three same mob.
Three talking, same mob, and we'd be on every panel, and there was no confliction.
Yep.
You heard three of the same points of view. And that's not really giving to an audience at all.
Or to yourself.
I don't mind if there is some confliction points of view this weekend.
I agree.
But I think we got to figure out who we are and where we're going as wordsmiths.
Yeah.
And but respect each other's
point of
view.
And I think it's very interesting because having more diversity amongst Aboriginal writers, you have a greater breadth of Aboriginal experience. You're coming at it from an Aboriginal man grown up in Brisbane, but Ellen's coming from it from a female voice, a queer female voice. So you've got these different intersections of identity as well, which comes together and you actually learn a lot more, don't you?
Oh, look, I've been to Darwin Words, so I've been chipped by a few of the Arnies on panels because I don't have connection to country. And they go, oh, I feel sorry for you, brother. I'm like, nah, don't feel sorry for me. I'm still,
yeah,
still try to make my way as a writer, but you do get that in Canada last year. Meeting a lot of there's a huge First Nations writing community in Canada, in Toronto especially, and I sort of dropped back a bit because they're all talking in language. Wow. But I thought, my language is English, my mother's German.
Yeah.
So I've got to be proud.
You've actually done a lot in German as well. You did an opera?
Yeah.
A poetry opera, was it? Or
German vampire. I come back from
That's
Germany
so
and the Brisbane writer said, oh, we want you to write something about Brisbane. And I said, well, how about a vampire that bites Murray woman and gets a taste of Dreamtime? They said, oh, I don't know if that'll work. Well, no, make it work.
But I love it because a lot of mob are going into science fiction now, know what I mean? Yep. Like you got Clever Man, but you just got every blackfella likes science fiction. So it's like everyone has this idea about how they're going to make a science fiction blackfella way.
Well, out in the desert country, a lot of those desert artists, a lot of things they base their work on is the constellations and the stars.
Definitely.
So there needs to be more arts, science, poetry.
Yeah.
Put together.
But it's interesting because I think the reason why Western science doesn't understand it, because for them, religion's over here, science is over there, and they've had so much confliction.
Yes.
Whereas Aboriginal cultures, and I think even Maori probably,
culture, it's exactly
it
the
was
same.
Cosmology very much together.
And,
So it's the same over there, eh?
Exactly.
So you see a lot of those themes coming up in the poetry that's coming out now from a lot of First Nations writers?
We're getting there. I think the first thing is for the next few generations of poets, it'll probably be a lot of that identity finding. I mean, what is our worth?
Yeah.
What is our worth in this society? Living in a commonwealth, we don't know our worth at times. So I think we'll still have generations of writers exploring that. And look, if we can go further, it's all better.
We might take a break. I'm here with Sam Wagan-Watson and Annie Tefua, who is talking here about the Queensland Poetry Festival, and it's got a really great program, a lot of lineups of really strong, emerging but also established First Nations poets.
If you missed today's show or would like to hear Let's Talk again, catch the repeat from 7 p.m. weekdays or listen via the podcast at 989fm.com.au. Here's Amy McQuire with Let's Talk.
Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk, where we have two guests in the studio, poet Sam Wagan-Watson and Annie Tefu, and they're here talking about the Queensland Poetry Festival, which has a huge lineup of First Nations writers, but not only First Nations writers. Annie, did you want to tell me a little bit more about the international artists you've got coming over?
Tracy K. Smith is a Pulitzer Prize winner. She's on her way over from America. We've got Joanne Arnott, Janet Rogers and Mo Clark, who are all three incredible Canadian First Nation writers. We've got Ben Brown, Robert Sullivan and Grace Taylor coming over from New Zealand, Aotearoa, which is going to be exciting. And who's here now, who's already here, is the Arts Queensland Poet in Residence, and his name is Jeet Thayil. He is from Delhi, India. He was shortlisted for the Booker Prize for Narcropolis.
Wow. Was that a poetry collection for the Booker Prize?
That was fiction. Yeah. So
he's quite an enigma.
He is an enigma. He's a pretty amazing guy. He's brought his guitar as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jeet's based at the Judith Wright Centre. They've got apartments upstairs. Right. So as part of his residency, he's based there. After this. Today I'm taking him over to ACPA. So he's collaborating with all the ACPA crew and doing a workshop next week writing lyrics and song with them.
So what are the themes that he usually writes, would you say?
Resilience.
Yeah.
Would be his biggest kind of thread, wouldn't it, would you say?
Wouldn't I read his pieces? How to be a crow. Learn to name the animals. Stinking, babbling, breedy, querulous, maddened, and jet. Usurp the duties of God, why not? This is what poets do. As for crows, kill colour, turn black.
Wow.
I mean, that's nice and short, but speaks 1,000 words.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, beautifully read too. So you can... Jeet's actually hopefully coming over with us on Sunday to see... to be part of Sam's workshop.
With my chum in the island. It's the water.
Yeah, exactly. I said that to him.
Yeah.
Being from Delhi, we were walking home from the Triffid at 1 in the morning the other night, walking through Newstead there.
Yep.
Not a sound. And he said, guys, listen to that. Listen to that silence. I haven't heard that for a long time. He just talked about the silence in Delhi. You get it at between 4:15 and 4:30 in the morning and then that's it.
And him and I are in Toowoomba. On the 23rd?
You're heading up the range.
22nd, yeah.
Whole heap of events. You mentioned before, Annie, that Queensland Poetry Festival, this is the first, it's been 20 years it's been going, but this is the first time it's been different. How has it been different?
It's been different in that the programming has focused on Indigenous voices. I don't think in the past 20 years there's been an intention, and I guess that's come from the directorial perspective. David and I, co-directors of the festival, looking at our responsibility and our role and the privilege that it is to direct such a festival, using that privilege in the right way.
Right.
I think that's how it's different.
Yeah, right.
This year.
So in the past, it hasn't had that focus as much.
No.
Yeah.
No. Sam can probably speak more. When was your first QPF, Sam?
Geez, that was back in 1998.
No way.
Yeah, you probably weren't even alive then. Neither of you probably were alive then.
I'm not that young.
But yeah, it's probably 98.
You'd be able to speak about that.
It was quite they didn't have a population of Indigenous writers to really pull from.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot because Brisbane has a very strong writing culture, doesn't it?
We do.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, you grew up in Brisbane, but now it seems that a lot of the really great black writers are being bred here, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, look,
And Black and Right at
The Black and Right program is going off. And once again, Ellen Van Nieuwen can put her name to that. She's been mentored by some great editors. I don't know. I think for a long time we were seen as the frontier of arts in Australia from Sydney and Melbourne. But the flavour of writing that can come out of Australia. I mean, I always loved the Jacaranda time of the year in Brisbane. Brisbane music, I think, is really, Queensland music, Kev Carmody, people that have
we've got a lot of inspiration up here, don't we? Even in the history of the state, when you think of, like, Joe Balke-Peterson, but even just a couple of years of Newman.
Yep.
It's interesting. Yeah. That really puts the fire in a lot of poets' bellies, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Did it put it in your belly?
Oh, look, it adds colour. It adds colour and flavour to things. Even under Labor governments, they still didn't get it right with the arts and our mob. So yeah, it's always a learning curve every day. My first Arts Queensland Literary Award, Peter Beattie signed off on it, and Queensland spelt wrong.
No way.
It's the Arts Queensland. They're like, Pete, two E's, mate. Two E's, brother.
Someone probably caught it and thought, no one is going to notice. No. They're just writers. They're not going to notice words being spelt wrong.
But no, look, we have the capacity to do some great things. We've always had the capacity to do great things here in Brisbane. Next week we have the capacity to sort of step up one work. I don't want to use the term reconciliation because it's so overdone.
You even said that in your poem, Let's Talk.
Yeah, we can have fun. Like we're doing a session at Kirill Dargan, Protocols and Poetry. And that was that's on the 25th Thursday. And that was basically inspired by my little fella who they wrote their own acknowledgement to country at daycare, and it goes like, this is the land that we stomp our feet on. This is the sun that helps us to grow. We'd like to thank the first people of the land, elders past and present, that our kindy is on. And all the kids do this dance. And they all dance their own way. It's like Wiggles gone mad, gone black.
Wiggles gone black, the black Wiggles.
Wiggles. And then I started noticing that the Commonwealth Bank the new Commonwealth Bank shop fronts all have a acknowledgement country plaque on them. It's been a strong thing in Queensland government. A couple of weddings I've been to, the young couples have stopped their vows to acknowledge country. So I thought, why not something that both black and white writers can get into? We'll just have a good day of fun, creativity, and think about how you can tap into your local governments, who your mob are on the country you live, and develop an acknowledgement country for yourself, for your neighbourhood. So
could be your own form of poetry,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
This is Let's Talk with Amy McQuire.
Welcome back to Let's Talk, where my two guests in the studio are Sam Wagan-Watson and Annie Tafew, and we're talking about the Queensland Poetry Festival. And just before I get one of our own here at 98.9, Stephen Oliver actually has a show that's been sold out, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
You might Stephen's have been to
see that. Stephen's show is our first sellout show, but if you do want to catch Stephen, you still can, in a cabaret performance happening on Friday the 26th between 7:30 and 9:30, Calliacool QPF Literary Cabaret. So featuring Sam Wagan-Watson, Tashani Doshi from India, Stephen Oliver, Jeet Thayil, the poet in residence, Tracy K. Smith, the Pulitzer Prize winner we were talking about before.
Oh, right.
And Gina Williams, coming over from Perth. And she's also singing with Archie on Saturday night.
So a lot of these sessions, are they free, or where can people find out about them?
Yeah, 75% of the sessions are free. And the ones that are ticketed, you can just jump online. So our website's www.queenslandpoetryfestival.com. The Judith Wright Centre also have all the tickets. Or just email us if you have any inquiries.
Oh, we'll put a lot of our details up on the website.
Oh, that would be so great.
The one question, have you found that the readership or the listenership for poetry or the audience is changing? Is there a bit of a resurgence in the people who actually access poetry or want to?
I think it's always been strong. With Kindle and Amazon, that now people can access more. So it's much of a muchness,
yeah.
Like
I
music.
Think things, yeah, I think people are accessing poetry through things like Poetry Slam and the yep. Yarn Storytelling Nights,
yes, yes.
And people are finding poetry through different ways. So we've just had the Poetry Awards, one of which was the sound. You could enter a sound, you know, an audio recorded poetry prize through XYZ prize. We also just had the Oojuru Noonuckle Prize, which we were really excited to receive entries for. So people are accessing and finding it through different ways. Of course, the internet on Facebook, you just have to, you know, look through anyone's page and you'll find someone reading or doing some sort of performance thing will pop up on YouTube or whatever. So it's more visible, I think. It's not just under P for poetry in your library, in your dusty kind of corner.
Yeah,
for
it's no longer in the
elite
Cambridge
group of,
and
yeah,
Oxford.
It's alive.
It's less snobbish.
Yeah.
Less snobbish, isn't it, about what poetry
it's less
can be.
Elitist and it's less stuck with those people on a page. It's less confined to, say, Shakespeare or, you know, the traditional classics, which are all still really valuable and obviously really important, but they sit amongst a whole suite of other, you know, voices and forms.
I think, the sisters are really powering ahead, whereas for a long time I think, you know, our university sort of based poets were men.
Big time.
And it was very sort of a male institution.
Yeah.
It's a bit lonely on the road with all these sisters around now. Like, I'm the only fella here, Jesus.
You've been a host for so long, man.
Yeah, I know.
Black men differently.
But look, we have such a wonderful sisterhood of writers.
Yeah.
Especially in Brisbane now. Anita Heist now lives here.
Yep.
You know?
We dragged her up to Queensland one
Yeah.
yeah. And the ideas that I think the brothers, we need to stop and listen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's a really important thing because I think we're in this stage where, you know, the media is very one thought, you know. It's
definitely
a lot of groupthink,
yeah.
Whereas I think poetry and literature, particularly Blackfellas, it's a way to think differently in a way that's acceptable but explore outside of the boundaries, is it, Sam, a little
bit?
Yes,
it's a really good way to question, to provoke, to challenge, to bring people together. It can do so much. It's a very powerful powerful thing.
Well, Ellen Van Niven's Comfort Food
big time
takes the genre of food. You can smell her mother's kitchen in the pages. That's the beauty of writing.
That's a good way to put it.
Where would you have been, do you think, if you hadn't discovered poetry or if you hadn't been a writer? So?
Probably a stockbroker working for the Liberal Party or
I hope
like
not.
No, I actually started out as a fraud investigator.
Oh, really?
In the federal government. And because everything had to be handwritten, statements and everything, there was no data matching, I really loved writing statements and writing.
Have you got good handwriting?
I do.
Yeah, right. Do you write in cursive or?
I'll show you later.
Because obviously you do a lot of your writing on pieces of paper.
Yeah.
I think it's a dying art form, beautiful.
If you're getting up early in the morning, you don't want to wake anyone, you don't want to turn on the computer.
There you go.
You can be right there next to the jug and get something out.
Oh, heavenly. How good to wake up and write. What a beautiful way to start.
You got
the
best job in the world, I reckon.
It's all right.
Is it hard? I guess it was harder when you first started out. Is it harder to put a lot of the personal sort of ideas on the page, or does the sort of medium of poetry sort of give you a bit of a barrier in that sense?
Oh, yeah, right.
So the balancing ideas and what you can interpret for an audience. Like Aunty Maureen always put the audience first in her poetry readings. So you've definitely got to think of the audience before what you want to do. Yeah, it's delivery.
It is.
Suppose, yeah. Yeah, that's another art form, I guess.
Can I give you, can I just quickly do those giveaways?
Yeah, and when is the Ujuru Nunnuckle
closed?
The prize is being announced. So when do we find out who?
So 25th, Thursday the 25th.
Oh, so you find out then.
I'm going to win.
You're one of the judges, eh?
Yes, but it's not a conflict of interest.
At all, no. So 25th, Thursday the 25th.
Yeah, and look, we have some good strong entries, so yeah, right. We'll be getting into that next week.
That'll be announced just before the, what is it, the Bowie Prince Night kicks off. So if it's okay, can I just talk about these? We'd love to offer your listeners some giveaways. If you're into hip-hop, please send us an email. We're giving away two double passes for the Raw Styles Hip-Hop Night featuring Morganics MC Wire and local DJ Rain Man and a mystery guest. We're giving tickets away for that, as well as the two double passes for the Water Rats Storytelling Salon. Melissa Lukashenko, Robert Sullivan, Sam Wagon Watson, Joanne Arnott, Alison Whitaker and Jeet Thayil. That's all sponsored. I have to say massive thank you to one of our significant sponsors, which is AT6. Jody has been incredible to work with and very generous and come on board to be a major supporter of the festival, which we're really grateful for. If you'd like to win those tickets, please email us at qldpoetry@gmail.com. So qldpoetry@gmail.com. And we'd love to give you those, giveaways. Please come along.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really great festival as well. Just in closing, I guess, Sam, what's next for you, I guess? What are you working on? What are you hoping to?
I've got a new book coming out next month with the Canberra University Press, and just so much on the boil.
You've been travelling around with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm judging like 3 national poetry prizes.
Wow.
New book, and I don't know, settle down, get married sometime. Mum, if you're listening, I'm not, Mum.
And Annie, I guess what's next for you? Will we be seeing some of your poems around the place?
Yeah, probably. No, well, David and I also program for the Woodford Folk Festival, so we'll be heading up to Woodford for December. So
yeah,
once this festival's done, head into that.
God, so one after the other, you don't get a break, do you?
Well, no, exactly. And all the grants for next year's festival are due kind of like the week after this festival finishes. So it's just straight back into it.
If you do stop, it could be death.
Yeah. I guess just for our listeners, just in the last minute, where do we find out a bit about the Queensland Festival in case they just missed it just before?
Yeah, sorry. Just head to the website, which is www.queenslandpoetryfestival.com.
You're going to hate it by the end of this, aren't
you? So you should be able to.
So a lot of the information is online if they want to buy tickets, so they can go to the Judith Wright Centre, and so there's a whole heap of different venues they can find out about it.
And please have a look. Don't be shame, you mob. If you've got some writing,
bring it.
Come along and then join in.
Yeah, right.
It's a good stepping stone.
So true.
Well, you have your story, don't you? Everyone has their own individual story. Everyone's voice is important. You'd be
trouble
shutting them all up. I think that's the actual problem. But thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Amy
and Sam Wagon Watson. And if you want to catch up, you can obviously join us on the website 989fm.com.au, and we'll put a lot of the details up about Queensland Poetry Fest on our website, on our Facebook page as well, and on our Twitter. So you'll be able to find it there, but I hope you can all get out for it. It sounds amazing. Starting August 25th.